Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back, not live, to a special edition of Orange Lounge Radio. It's an extra special little bonus stage edition of our show for this week in November. I know what today is, November 5th, but I think this is airing on, what, November 10th? Math is hard. My name is Rob Roberts. She, of course, is Dark Sakura, or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. And how are you feeling? I know
I'm not drugged out of my brain anymore.
That's good. That's good. Did you go back and listen to all the crazy things you said last week? No, I'm just kidding. I would.
I don't listen to myself.
Anyway. Well, hopefully the time off work and so forth while you're recuperating, great time to watch a lot of random YouTubes and play some games.
Actually, it's time to rebuild a website. Oh. And yell at my computer while I'm playing The Sims.
Okay, fair enough. Also say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah? I like you and I are both like dressed up in button-up shirts today. Like we just got
it's
off
very
work.
Formal.
it's a formal. It's a black tie and Dark Sakura is dressed up too.
Is what I wear to work.
You should see this wig she's got on. It's amazing and she's got makeup. No, I'm just kidding.
Which is actually funny because I'm not wearing hardly any makeup and I'm wearing a black flannel, a Captain Marvel t-shirt and leggings. Mm-hmm. I'm about as informal. I look like the 90s, really.
Revenge of the 90s.
Except I have better eyebrows.
I like the Captain Marvel shirt, though. It's cute.
Yeah, I paid $4 for it at Target.
A whole $4? No, that's a good deal.
I've been all about the clearance racks and thrifting lately.
All right, so we're
treasure hunting.
We're not live tonight. This is kind of an extra episode that we're doing. We're taping, as I mentioned, kind of like Tuesday during the week in advance of our usual Sunday night slot because, as I've mentioned on a previous episode of the show, I'm going to be out of town this weekend on a trip I planned like 6 months ago before all the other stuff that knocked us off the air for a couple weeks previously came up. So we just wanted to make sure we at least kind of recorded something for you guys that make it a habit to show up on Sunday nights live and, of course, download us as part of your podcast rotation and all that. So we're doing a little bit of a special bonus episode tonight. Very free form, very unlike some of our usual episodes of Orange Lounge Radio. So if it's your first episode of Orange Lounge Radio, this may not be the best one to represent.
It's just your appetizer.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to put it. It's kind of like the appetizer. It's just a little bit of the three-hour-plus show. This last show we just did 2 days ago was 3 hours plus. It was like a 3 hour, 15-minute show. So tonight probably won't be as long because there simply just isn't as much to talk about. However, I am looking forward to a little later on in the show, we're going to be welcoming our good buddy and pal and friend, game maker, independent game maker, YYR, is going to join us for a little bit of a chat. And I am told he's going to break an exclusive here about his games on the show tonight. So that is very exciting. So we'll talk about that. So at least we still have a little excitement building here on our special little mini edition of Orange Lounge Radio. For those of you that are watching on Sunday night over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, where we usually do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. For those of you that are there, you can still chat along with the show, and your comments will show up for at least 2 more days until Twitch pulls the plug on all that, which I have to be honest. I do love Twitch, or we wouldn't be using them as a platform to stream, but I don't understand why they got to get rid of that. Maybe it's a resource hog. Maybe for most channels it's just something really horribly underutilized, but I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss the chat on the video on demand. So this is your last chance. Pour one out for the chat. So, but in fact, if right now in chat, push F to pay respects for the video on demand. That way I'll know who is here.
I even saw an article that the pay F to for respects is 5 years old today.
That's right. It's celebrating a birthday.
Yes.
That meme is 5 years old.
Yeah.
My gosh. We're all getting older. You know what? Quick aside, because we never get on tangents here on Orange Lounge Radio. I was at work today and talking with a coworker, and the subject of the classic 70s, late 70s, early 80s television program Mork and Mindy came up. And my coworker, who is a few years younger than I am, had no idea who Mork and Mindy was. And, like, I had to explain, like, you know, like Robin Williams, big TV, Nanu Nanu. Nope. No idea who Mork and Mindy was.
Oh, come on. Everyone knows Pam Dauber.
I know. And it was Robin Williams. And then even my other coworker who totally knew his show was like, and who is the gal that played Mindy? What was her name? What was it? I'm like, Pam Dauber. What else was she in? She was in that movie Stay Tuned with John Ritter.
She was also, wasn't she in?
I don't remember what else
she
was in.
No, she was in a TV movie, and I know about this because she was playing someone who was meant to be Lisa Dolby, who was the woman who worked for a year in the 70s as an actual geiko in Kyoto, as in what they call geisha in Kyoto. Who worked for a year as a geiko. She was there working on her, like, her doctorate thesis, I think, on kimono and geiko culture. Hmm. So, but I saw that movie. I knew she was in it.
Well, who knew, listening to Orange Lounge Radio this week, I'd learned something about Pam Dauber.
And wasn't she in that 80s series? She wasn't in My Sister Sam, was she?
I don't know. Can somebody pull up her Wikipedia?
I'm looking. Okay. But you remember that show, right? My Sister Sam?
I think that was her. Yeah, I do remember that. There was like a... Was that the show...
The girl also died.
I was like, was that the show where...
Yeah, it was Pam Dauber and Rebecca Schaefer.
Rebecca Schaefer was the one that had the stalker that shot her. I know it's really tragic and not something I'm trying to make light of, but that was... I mean, for those that were like... Those of you that are like in your early 40s or late 30s probably remember hearing about that when you were a kid, that there was this popular show on TV, and the actress, unfortunately, it was because that changed like stalking laws and stuff. Like that was a big, big deal when that happened, I remember. So, okay.
I didn't realize that Pam Dauber actually screen tested for the role of Tabitha, which was the spinoff of Bewitched.
Huh. How about that? Wow.
Yeah.
All right. The classic actress of the week right here on Orange Lounge Radio.
I didn't realize that she was married to Mark Harmon. But yeah, she was she did a couple other shows and actually worked with Robin Williams on one of his comedy shows called The Crazy Ones.
Has she done anything in the past 10 years?
That was in 2014.
Oh, yeah. Well, The Crazy Ones was that last TV show he had before he died. The one with Sarah Michelle Gellar. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Anyway. Whew. All right, the Pam Dauber show. All right, let's...
Well, I'm just saying, I'm looking at on here, she actually did some voice acting, too.
Any video games?
It was 101 Dalmatians, the series.
So there's no way to tie Pam Dauber to video gaming.
She's on the show Dream On, remember that?
Completely on a tangent. I do remember Dream On. All right, enough.
Okay, sorry, I just think it's kind of funny.
I think it's...
She has a lot of movies.
I haven't thought about her in many years. All right. Let's talk about some early gaming headlines. Again, I do want to give this disclaimer. We're taping this about 5 days in advance of when it's airing. A whole lot of shit could go down during the week. So we're just going to take a look at some of the early headlines from the week and give you our thoughts. So, Dark Sakura, I know you've pulled a few things for us.
Yeah.
All right. What do you want to talk about?
Well, how about some Sony shenanigans? Because... I don't know. We talk about things like this happening and everyone gets so mad, but this one might actually be a travesty. Smooshy agrees.
Yes. Mr. Smoosh is very much commenting on the case at hand.
Anyway, the servers for SingStar are going to close on January 31st. I know all those copies of SingStar out in circulation, which actually I think it was a pretty good seller. I wasn't into it, but But at any rate, they did make a post about it publicly online that all online functionality, network features, song purchases will be disabled immediately as of 11:59 p.m. on January 31st, 2020. And it will go on all PlayStation platforms, but offline features will still be available. The thing in particular to keep your eyes on is that for PS4 users, you will be able to re-download any songs that you have downloaded and deleted previously, but that will not be possible on PS3.
Huh.
You will need to download all of your digital purchases prior to the server shutdown, and then after that, the deleted content will be completely irretrievable.
it's being replaced with a game called Sing Smush, which is actually going on in the background right now. Yeah, exactly. Well, I kind of like SingStar. I remember.
Do you like SingStar ABBA?
I do. I have SingStar ABBA.
So
I do
download
somewhere.
All your shit.
I know. Well, I don't have to download SingStar ABBA because that's all on the disc. Mm. So if I'm hearing it right, the disc version of like SingStar ABBA should work. And there was also SingStar Queen, which I think I have as well. So SingStar Queen, SingStar ABBA. And then there was like the random like SingStar 1, 2, and 3. They had all of that. And then you could download a bunch of songs online, which I did. I remember having house parties. We downloaded a bunch of stuff on SingStar because I had those microphones. And then around the PlayStation 4 era, they kind of changed it more to like a standalone thing where you just have the SingStar app basically and you can sing. There's like an app you get for your phone and you use your phone as the mic, which is a smart way to do it. So you don't have to worry about those like blue and red plug-in mics anymore. But that means if the servers are going down, you won't be able to download any new songs now.
Well, to be specific, what people will still be able to do is access all the songs on the discs, play party mode, track and record your high scores offline, take in-store videos and snapshots to the hard drive and create song playlists. But things like the challenges, scoreboards, user-generated content will no longer be available online. You can't share your media to Facebook, Twitter, PSN, SingStar communities, or any of that. And, of course, you will not be able to unlock the Channel Surfer concert debut, Star in My Eyes, or SingStar trophies.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's going to be locked away because I seem to remember what was the Sony initiative called? Was it called Play, Create, Share or something like that? Was that the Sony thing? And I want to say SingStar was a big part of that because Little Big Planet was a huge part of that when it first came out too. But SingStar has all that online stuff. And again, this SingStar was out in an era right before maybe like when YouTube was kind of still like first coming out, was still kind of new. Like people knew YouTube and got linked to YouTube's. Kelly's Shoes existed on YouTube at the time. So there was something to go visit there. But it wasn't like it is now. And like something like Twitch wasn't really what it is now, you know, where there's the immediate like sharing of things. Or, you know, even something like Justin TV, Twitch's predecessor, was still kind of, I think, still in its very much like its formative years. So SingStar was really like a place to really like share, like, here's my singing, you know, for good and for bad. So it's kind of sad to see it go, but I guess it would make sense that perhaps licensing issues are now coming into play. I mean, we would be like,
whatever licenses are coming due.
Yeah, I mean, but it would be like, I mean, SingStar ABBA was a PlayStation 3 game. I want to say a game like SingStar ABBA was almost 10 years ago at this point, you know, so.
I remember how excited you were.
Well, hell yeah, the video game all about ABBA, are you kidding? They don't often make dedicated video games to groups I adore.
Wasn't Tiara here when you played that?
Spice World was the only other one I can think of. I'm trying to look because I actually have off camera a bunch of PlayStation 3 games. I'm curious if – I think my copies of SingStar are in the other room though because I think I pulled those discs to do something with the PlayStation 4 version. I don't think the PlayStation 4 version reads them, but it definitely knew like I had bought these certain songs online previously. And so like I do have a PlayStation 4 copy of the client, so – I should go through and see if there's any other songs I want to grab before it all goes away forever. But I feel like they didn't really do a lot of updates to that library starting a couple years ago. But it is a library I've spent a bit of money on. I mean, I would say over the years, I probably dropped like $40 on additional songs. I know it sounds like a lot, but, you know, again, you have parties and it's very easy to sign into the store and people are like, I want to sing that one. I was okay. I think even your wife, Loki, I want to say at one of these parties, convinced me to download Whitney Houston songs.
That sounds like her.
Yeah, right? I want to say.
I don't
remember.
I'm almost
positive. I had a birthday party way, way, way back when we used to do the show in the garage at the house that I lived at then.
Maybe.
I think I had a party way back then, and I think we played SingStar, and I want to say your wife made me download I Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney, which is not a bad selection. I'm not upset with it.
That sounds like her, yeah.
Yeah, right? I don't know why I associate your wife with Whitney Houston, but I do.
It's a very easy association. The Bodyguard really is, you know, the number one thing.
I wish that was a play on Broadway I could go see. Want to go?
The Bodyguard?
Yeah, The Bodyguard. The Bodyguard's a play, you know?
Yeah. Saw it.
Did you?
We saw the musical.
Oh, that's right. You just saw the one with Deborah Cox, right?
Yes.
How'd you guys like it?
It was pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I'm sad it's not on Broadway still. Did I say on this show what I'm going to go see? I'm going to go see Moulin Rouge, and I'm going to go see Jagged Little Pill on Broadway because it just started the preview performances like this past weekend. So cool. I'm going to get to see it in like its first couple weeks of existence. I'm being a total Broadway hipster right now, but I'm really excited. So, yeah, anyway. By the time you guys hear this, actually, at the time you guys are watching this on Twitch, I will be in the second act of Moulin Rouge. So I'm really excited. Anyway. And I can no longer download the Elephant Love medley to sing on SingStar from Moulin Rouge. So rest in peace, SingStar. Thanks for the memories. Anyway, anything else, Dark Saga?
No, not in regard to SingStar.
What about any other stories you want to talk about?
A couple of things. Okay. So there has been another video game related death, but due to being too into the game, I guess. There was a teenager in Thailand who was found dead after a marathon gaming session. His name is Piawet Hadikun. I guess I pronounced that right. Was discovered on, I guess, yesterday in his home in Thailand after playing a bunch of multiplayer games. And they said that he died from a stroke. He was discovered near his computer chair in his bedroom. The desk was covered with food containers and the curtains were drawn. And his father discovered him. And apparently, yeah, they said that they're, you know, trying to use that to bring bigger alertness, I think, to the, I guess, the use of video games and people with addictive personalities. Because I don't think video games themselves are addictive. I think it's addictive personalities the same way that people, because the same type of response like to gambling and things like that.
Almost anything consumable can be addictive. You know,
not like though with a drug where like, it
I'm addicted
does
to
create
these Tootsie Roll vanilla things,
but
they're
that's
amazing.
That's part of a chemical reaction.
Yeah,
addiction on games and gambling is a different kind of chemical reaction.
I gotcha. Yeah.
So you know that same what dopamine response, mm-hmm. whereas I don't consider that a consumable. I consider that going to be more something who is more easily stimulated mm-hmm. by that sort of response is mm-hmm. going to want to keep doing it.
And it's interesting that you kind of put games and gambling in the same category, because I think a lot of the issues we've been hearing about in the past few years with the loot box concerns are kind of falling in a very similar thing, is that, you know, it's getting a little too close to gambling and hits kind of a lot of those same nerves for people. Mm-hmm. So,
well, and on top of that, I mean, you know, the World Health Organization has included video game addiction to its list of international classifications of diseases. Mm. I like, though, how it's phrased. The disorder is characterized by impaired control over gaming, an increased priority given to play video games over other daily activities, usually lasting for at least 12 months to be diagnosed. And that is very much like how gambling is mm-hmm. is classified, or how workout addiction. You know of workout addiction, mm-hmm. right?
Sure.
So
sometimes
same
it's
thing.
Sometimes it's things like steroids and stuff in regards to those. Although again, I think they're different types
runners.
Of addiction, but they're what?
Hmm? Runners.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And interesting you kind of bring up the ICD coding of the issue, because, you know, the industry switched ICD coding standards 2015, I think, was the big year. So they were running on an older version. They switched to a newer version that was already being used in places like Europe and stuff. But this new kind of coding – so even though it's like, wow, they actually have coding for video game addiction, they switched to a system that allows them to code for almost anything. Like there's an ICD code out there for subsequent – no, I think the craziest one, because this was my old world that I can be a little more open about now because it's not my world anymore. There used to be a code for piece of a UFO flying on you for a subsequent time. Like, they have all sorts of things classified. I know. Unidentified flying object. Doesn't necessarily mean an alien.
No.
It could be something something fell out of the sky.
Somebody's cheap-ass drone.
Yeah, somebody's drone. That's right. A drone would be a UFO in that. That would actually be a perfect example of that.
Weather balloons, Rob. Weather balloons.
Yeah, that could be too. So, anyway. So, don't read into it too much that they've actually given it an ICD coding. Almost anything that can end up in a doctor's office, they have the capacity to give an ICD-10 code to now.
Well, then, and last but not least, you know, I hate to be like the pooper on here,
uh-huh.
but New Zealand is banning a video game that's glorifying mass shootings. I think it might be that same one that we talked about before.
Uh-huh.
They didn't mention it by name, so I guess not to give any attention to the game itself.
Sure.
But there is a, you know, they had the Christchurch mass shooting where 51 Muslims were murdered in a mosque.
Wasn't that the one that was streamed online?
It was streamed on Facebook.
Ugh, gross. Yeah.
With a gunman with semi-automatic weapons who went into two mosques on March 15th and killed 51 people and wounded more. They were talking about the release of this game and advertisement of this game because it has one play from the perspective of a white supremacist. So the game is banned outright in New Zealand with further urging internationally to ban the game.
Interesting. You know, and I know this was the same incident that led them to pass gun reform like within a weekend, right?
Yeah.
And I remember a lot of people were pointing at that because, you know, and I'm trying to walk a real fine line because we could have a 3-hour show about the politics of this issue and and that whole thing. I have to ask this question as much of a slippery slope as it is into a complete political spinoff. But with as disgusting as a subject matter about like white supremacy and all that is, are we going down a slippery slope if we start to ban these sorts of things? Because like for me, it starts to get down do you remember when the Supreme Court intervened on that Schwarzenegger law? Like who is to define what is obscene and what is not obscene, or in that case, what is a violent game and what is not, because there was no like official rating. So I think, and you guys have to forgive me because I don't have all the references in front of me, but I want to say where that law ended up getting tripped up was because there is no...
It's too vague.
It's too vague on what is a violent game. So I guess my kind of thought is here, and New Zealand can do whatever they want, and Australia has banned games before. We know like Mortal Kombat been banned.
They also banned assault weapons
right
much earlier on.
So are we – I'm trying to keep the question kind of simple without going too far down the rabbit hole, but is it a slippery slope to start banning video games if
slippery
we are to consider video games?
Slippery slope arguments are inherently fallacious.
Say that again. Sorry.
Slippery slope arguments are inherently fallacious. So I don't like to think in terms like that. I think there is such a thing as setting precedents, but America's so stupid when it comes to violence anyway. They'll ban sex before they ban violence, which is absolutely ridiculous. I don't know. It's...
Yeah, it's tough. I'm not saying there's necessarily an easy answer here. Maybe this is one of those things we just have
America's
to think.
America's stupid about it.
And it's one of those things we have to think about. Like, what is the correct response to something like this? How do we, you know, and I guess for me, it's more like, how do we teach people or demonstrate to people that this is something that's offensive? This is something that, you know, I don't even know the game in question, so I can't even like say XYZ game is offensive because I haven't seen it and I don't really care to hearing about this. But maybe that's the whole thing, is that because I know it involves these types of things, I'm like, that's disgusting. I don't need to play it. For example, I don't go to see those Saw movies. I don't like those Saw movies, right? Because I know they're gross. I know they show people getting chopped up into little bitty pieces and stuff. So when I hear that a new Saw movie is coming out, I'm like, there's a movie I don't need to see, right? So that's how I approach it. Now, maybe Loki goes and buys popcorn and goes to opening night. Fine, he can go do whatever he wants.
I've missed too many Saw movies, unfortunately. I'm too far behind in the Saw series.
My own husband loves those gory things. He watches those compilations on YouTube.
I should watch them again, though, because the lore behind it's kind of great, but...
Have fun. I think they're gross.
The overreaching thing about it is that it's a matter of the mental fortitude of the person who is indulging in the genre. It's a different thing if it's set as... I think it's when you get into the specifics of it. You know that... I mean, first of all, serial killers in the United States are actually a very, very small, like 3% of mass murders are considered serial killings, if you look at it, you know, so you're going to be really unlikely to have that level of psychotic going around killing people, just saying, you know, whereas with a mass shooting, at least in America, you are more likely to see something like that happening as opposed to a serial killer. you know, as opposed to, you know, and yeah, both of them are fictionalized accounts, but the other one is a lot more in an influenceable realm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Especially when it's picking a very specific type of issue where it is a white supremacist, which right now our political environment is absolutely encouraging of that type of mind state. And secondly, where we live in a place where weapons like that are super easy to obtain and people can televise their murder sprees. This, it's getting when it hits too close to reality. Mm-hmm. That is when you know that it's an influenceable item. Because it is likely to happen. It has happened and it will happen. Whereas you're probably not going to get somebody, you know, on an intercom, you know, telling people to, you know, cut your leg off. That's just not really going to happen.
Unless you pay money to do an escape room in LA or where is that place? Vegas. I always see ads for it. I'm like, that is the number one thing I do not want to do in my life.
Is it a Saw
escape? It's a Saw-themed escape room.
But and that one's not actually going to still cut your leg off.
No, but they'll pretend. I don't even like the pretend. When it comes to that, I don't even like the pretend. I wouldn't play. Remember when they did the video games and they were showing them at E3? Uh-huh. I wouldn't even play the games. I was like, I don't need to be a part of it. There's 5,000 other games here at E3. I don't need to play that one, right?
Anyway, I'll be perfectly honest that, I mean, the things, like, if I am not the biggest advocate of any censorship at all.
Yeah.
But that would be something that I would absolutely censor, because as far as the terms of, I think, obscenity laws, mm-hmm. It would, number one, be something that would be considered a non-artistic work. They say it's satire, but it really strikes too close of a nerve for it to even... I think they're just using satire as a way to protect themselves when truly it's not. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be one thing I would be in favor of. I mean, honestly, I would also like to see, you know, weapons banned as well, you know? Funny that Australia had one big mass murder and it was gone. New Zealand... big mass murder. Now it's gone.
I have to be honest, and I think it's okay to say I'm not sure how I feel about this right now. You know, because I think that, you know, there if we are to say that video games are truly art, there should be a way to put this in a museum and say, wow, what a disgusting reflection of a disgusting place society was at in the year 2019, and so our kids can look back on that and go, wow, I hope we don't make these same mistakes. I don't know. There's a part of me that sort of thinks that, but I don't know. I'm on the fence.
At preserving the code for it, but still not making it publicly accessible.
Yeah.
You know, just like I believe that Civil War items belong in a museum, but I don't think we should have fucking statues everywhere to the losers. Mm-hmm. And guess what? Southern girl saying this. Ooh, the Confederacy lost. Get over it. The Nazis lost. Get the fuck over it. But I do believe that the memorabilia should be allowed in museums, lest we forget.
As well, because there are people out there, and you know this, that will say, oh, that didn't happen, right? There's people out there that say that didn't happen. So by putting it in a museum, it's like it's proof that, no, it did, and it better not happen again. Anyway, long, long discussion beyond that, but I'm gonna leave it at that. I would really be curious what you guys think. I hope our chat room is lighting up because I can go read it. Also, you can always email us, participate@orangesontrader.com. You can also comment on our episodes as we post them at vognetwork.com. So I think that was everything Dark Sakura had for the news. We're going to go over to Loki and myself. However, I do want to take a quick tangent. I know it's a little further down on the list there, but we actually have waiting on the phone, I believe, YYR is joining us via Discord. Are you there?
Rob, this isn't fair.
What isn't fair?
How can I possibly follow a deep, impactful discussion about white supremacy, serial killers, weapons, and the delicate balance of free speech versus the well-deserved condemnation of hate speech?
With bungee ferret tossing, of course.
Yeah, about that.
Sometimes video games are distractions from the horrors of the real world, and video games can be fun and frivolous. YYR, you've made some very fun and frivolous games yourself.
I've done my best.
So how have you been? I know you. We've talked a little bit on the show. You have become a father within the past year and a half ish, right?
That's right.
So I know, understandably, that's been monopolizing a little bit of your time. But
have you been able
to dedicate any time to taking a look at the old game library and seeing what fantasy game you want to make come true next?
Actually, over the last few months, I decided to spend some time actually playing games, more specifically one game. I actually spent a lot of time with Forza Horizon 4.
Good choice, though. Good choice. That's a good one.
But it's like every week they put up a new playlist with all these different activities to complete, and some of them are multiplayer challenges that have you playing, you know, games against other teams, team games against computer drivatars, and you know, just all kinds of fun things to do. And
games as a service. Games as a service.
Well, except that this service didn't cost any extra money, and there's no like fake currency to waste money on. And heck, the thing is available on Game Pass now, so anyone can try it.
Yep.
But of course, you know, that was time. And so I actually didn't get a lot done over the last few months. So I do very much apologize to anybody who was waiting for the new sharpshooter that I mentioned, which is like 90% done. It just needs a few more things and then it's ready to release.
Yeah, but you know, that last 10% is the hardest part.
I've said the same myself.
I know. That's who I stole it from. You or Bobby, one of the two, or both. Or both.
And the new BFT, that's definitely delayed to I have no idea when next year. But I actually have some fairly exciting news that I want to share.
Okay. And you know what? Like, I treat your games like any other. If the delay is to serve to make the game a great product at the end of the day, then a delay is worth it. So I'm going to applaud YYR for delaying his games and not rushing them. Let's all applaud. Well, hello, let's celebrate that.
Woohoo. So this is a short story about MAGFest, actually. Oh, it sounds like you want to tell a story too, don't you?
Aw. Hey, yes, it's your very child shiny. And my cat should have a show.
Well, they both have a limited vocabulary, so I'm not sure what the final entertainment value would be. Oh, you want to grab the microphone? That's a very good idea, except it's not really. Thank you for your input, darling.
All right. Now go put
She's
her in kitty
with
jail.
Her pom-pom
Just
balls.
Kidding. All right.
Some of which are shiny. Anyway, yes, so MAGFest 2018, which was actually about 2 years ago, I put Super Multitasking in to the showcase, or attempted to. It was not accepted, but what they have there is something called the Quick Play Table. And if your game doesn't get a, you know, full slot, you're encouraged our spot at the Quick Play Table, and you could do it multiple times throughout the weekend, and you can show your game there. And, you know, for anyone who wants to come up to the table and play. So 2 years ago, I was lucky enough to get a room in the Gaylord right in the same hotel as MAGFest. And so I had my equipment with me. So I said, well, you know what? Why not? So I showed it. I took the last slot on, I think, Friday initially. And I asked the staff who are stuck there for 24 hours because they have to monitor everything. So if I have the last slot of the day, can I just leave my stuff here overnight? And they said, well, as long as you get it out before the first slot the following morning, sure. And I said, okay. And I left my stuff there the whole night and set an alarm so I would be down early in the morning. And sure enough, when I got back, I found that the staff had been enjoying the heck out of the game for a good amount of time overnight. So I ran it overnight Saturday night too. And then I discover when I get back that there's like a 9-minute record, some like just seemingly impossibly high survival record on there. And I'm like, what happened? And they said, oh yeah, we played as a team. We gathered around the controller. So they really enjoyed this game.
They went so far as to cheat at your game to feel better about themselves. Yes.
So perfect. Anyway, so as far as the selection process, you're encouraged to, you know, not submit the same game twice, or at the least not submit the same game in the same state twice, because that counts against you in the submission process. But nonetheless, I haven't shown at a convention in a while. I haven't this year. I didn't last year. So I'm like, you know, maybe I'll just submit super multitasking for the heck of it for the 2020 showcase. But I did so with the promise that there would be some new features coming if it was accepted. And, well, I don't know what happened, but I got accepted to the 2020 MAGFest showcase.
Good for you. Congratulations.
Awesome. Pretty cool.
Thank you. So now, of course, I have to deliver on my promises. So I am ready to announce, and mind you, I always intended on releasing three versions of multitasking in total. The first was the 2016 XBLIG version, which is now gone. The second was Super Multitasking on Steam, which came out early 2018. And the final version, which I was originally going to call the very unoriginal Ultra Multitasking, is now going to be known as Super Multitasking versus Ultimate.
I love it. You're going the Street Fighter route. You got to put Turbo in there. At something, maybe there'll be an unlock code
for matching
and get turbo
service.
Mode for matching service. For matching service. Featuring yes, True sure. Kiss Destination.
Yes, featuring Dreams Come True also. but no, the reason I'm calling it versus Ultimate is because of, well, both words have significance. Not only is it going to be the ultimate challenge, but, well, there's a surprise that I'll save for a couple minutes from now. The first major change is the original game had four slots. The screen was split into four slots. You had your left stick, your right stick, your face buttons, and then everything on the top of the controller. For people who hate themselves, we can now split the top of the controller into individual slots for the triggers and the bumpers, and now you have five slots.
You're a madman. So if I'm hearing this right, so for those that have played Super Multitasking, and I wish I'd had time today to grab B-roll, but check it out on Steam, I guess, or check out the YouTube trailer. Just look up Super Multitasking. Right now, it's four games going on at once. This new version will allow you to do five, because four yes. wasn't enough.
For some people, obviously.
Yes.
Of course, though, if you're just getting your feet wet, if you're just starting to play, you can also do the opposite and lower it down to three slots, completely eliminating the bumpers and the triggers and making things maybe a little easier. Although the challenge mode is going to challenge your thought that maybe three slots is definitely easier. I'll find a way to test that theory.
Have you considered a one-slot mode for Bobby Blackwolf?
Well, that would defeat the purpose of the game, wouldn't it?
I guess it would.
It's just tasking.
Bobby Blackwolf single gets tasking. To play tasking.
Solo tasking.
You know, maybe as a joke, that's actually kind of funny.
Okay, all right. I would die. YYR, I would die if you put his name on it. Like, I don't know if legally you can, but I would die if you called it Bobby Blackwolf's tasking.
Well, if he gives it his consent, then I don't see why not.
All right, Bobby, you know who to tweet. All right.
So the challenge mode is going to be greatly expanded. Before, it was just a single list of 42 challenges. Now we're going to separate it into multiple courses. There'll be the original 42, you know, challenges in Super Multitasking. That'll be one course. But now there are going to be multiple, like there'll be a three-slot course, a five-slot course, a hell course, which is just going to be the worst thing ever. Like, there's going to be a lot of new missions, and they're also going to be able to be more complex.
Let's put that quote on the back of the box by the creator. Quote, the worst thing ever.
That's actually, yeah, you know, maybe I'll put that on the Steam page.
Okay, great.
But, right now, the challenge is they're set up a certain way. At most, one game plays in each slot. And then when that game ends, that's it. We're going to throw that out the window and allow more complex missions that have, I don't know, a second game starting in a slot once the first one is finished or more. So they're not just going to all last 20 seconds like before. They're going to be some that are deeper dives. So please look forward to that.
Oh, boy.
Speedrunners will have more ways to improve or make mistakes. So that's – I want to add some depth. You know, someone might have pointed at the existing game and said, well, it's fun, but it doesn't really look like there's a whole lot to do. I want to attack that. And then, of course, there'll be new mini games. Some of them will be more difficult versions of the games that are there now, like an alternate version of the paddle, the Pong game, where you have to control paddles on both the top and bottom rather than just on the bottom. So this way you can miss the ball in two different ways.
Oh, my God. Oh, this is going to be – wow. This is really going to be a mind fuck, but I'm excited.
And then some mini games are going to be completely new. I'm really going to try to find a good way to make an intuitive mini game where you're typing a text on a cell phone just so that I can pair that with the driving game.
That's great. You could take the swipe thing. You don't. I mean, you don't have to. You, like, if you just with the
little
controller,
that.
You could just do like a swipe thing. It doesn't have to actually hit each letter. Oh, I love that. You're gonna pair texting game with the driving game.
That's evil.
I love it.
It just has to be done. And then finally, the last major addition that I'm going to be making to this game is a two-player versus mode.
Ooh. Now
it's something that people were asking for, and we finally figured out a good way to do this. So basically what's going to happen is there are going to be variants of the mini games. Like, let's take the Pong game again as an example. So instead of just being a paddle and hitting the ball against a wall, there's going to be a red paddle on the bottom and a blue paddle on top. You're going to be, you know, controlling whichever color you are. And the ball is going to slowly get faster. And whoever messes up first, the opponent gets a point.
Huh.
There's going to be the tennis game. And you know what? You've probably seen – have you seen the battle mode in Poppin' Music?
It's been a long time, but yes, I do vaguely remember. Yeah.
Some versions – I don't know if it's all versions, but at least some versions of Poppin' Music, they've had it where, you know, you're playing the game. You're playing the game against an opponent, the main game, and then all of a sudden this mini game appears along the bottom of the screen where you're hitting a ball back and forth, and you have to take one of your buttons, you know, the extra button that you're not using, because each player only has to hit three lanes in Poppin' Music's battle mode. And then you're hitting that button to hit the ball back and forth. And whoever misses, they get some terrible mod applied to their lanes for a few seconds, which causes them to completely mess up. So it's going to be like that, but, you know, four of them on the screen at once.
Okay. I'm into it. This sounds really – you know what's also interesting about this? I don't even know if you've thought about this, YYR. Maybe you have. But you know Steam not that long ago, or I think they just announced they're going to do that whole thing where you can do any game multiplayer over the internet, kind of akin to PlayStation 4's Share Play. So theoretically – because I imagine you're building this with same room in mind, especially with some of the specific timings that go into this. But technically, I could play this with a friend of mine online.
I just hope you've got a good connection.
Yeah, I was going to say it might not be. I can understand why maybe you're not going to emphasize that, because the timing probably has to be very specific on that. And it is still kind of a beta-y early feature.
Well, I mean, it's going to be meant for local play. If there's any lag, one player is going to be at a big disadvantage.
True.
I'm really hoping that people have a really great time with this. You know, you'll set it to, you know, play to five or whatever, and then whoever gets 5 points first wins the game, and then you do it again, and then you curse a little, and then you do it again, and then you throw your controller and maybe do it again if it still works.
Well, I'm really excited for you, YYR, and you know I love the concept behind multitasking, super multitasking, and now super multitasking versus ultimate, right?
Yeah, I have no idea when this will be done. However, what I can tell you is that at the least, the versus mode, the five-slot mode's already in the game. and the Versus mode I'm working on now, you'll be able to try all these new features at MAGFest if you are there.
Sadly, I am not there this year. I may be able to return in 2021. As you know, and I say you as in the listeners and everybody, I started a new job.
New job.
So it was a little quick for me to make MAGFest happen. But the nice thing is, with this new job, I am better taken care of when it comes to time away to go to Nerd Expos than I maybe was before. So things like MAGFest and some of the things I've had to cut back on the past couple of years are now again a possibility. So nothing's off the table when we move into as we get it past. Probably once we get into summer next year, I may show up at more places. So MAGFest 2021 is something it's not out of the picture.
That's exciting. Maybe VOD could have a greater presence there on the whole.
I will have to talk to Mr. Blackwolf about that because I would really love that.
Nice. And I mean, the last thing, I don't know yet if I'm allowed to sell anything at the booth. I would love to be able to sell the game there because it's out. But if I am able to sell stuff there and you mention OLR, I will give you my best possible deal. I totally didn't mention this. If you already own Super Multitasking, by the time these features are released, you will be upgraded to Super Multitasking versus Ultimate for free.
Look at you, good guy YYR. How about that? How about that? Free upgrade. Congratulations. That is great.
For everybody else, the price is going to go up a few dollars if you haven't bought it yet.
So maybe that's a hot tip for OLR listeners. Hot tip, get it now before he jacks up the price.
Because I mean, this is my best concept. There's going to be a lot of effort put into this, into these upgrades too. So I really want to deliver the best possible package with this game, and then possibly look to port it to consoles afterward. So,
well, I am wishing you all the luck in the world, YYR. And I think one reason why this game does well at expos, I think it's one thing to like talk about the game and do this. Like, people do not really understand how addictive and how, because it is a game you play in very short bursts, kind of like a WarioWare type of thing. But it can also, because of that, be very subject to the whole just one more turn type of thing. Like, I've got to break the 2-minute mark. It turns into that sort of addicting thing, like, really fast. And I think once people get their hands on it, they really kind of realize, like, oh, this is addicting. This is very addicting. And so the fact that you're making it bigger, badder, and better, and maybe simpler for Bobby Blackwolf is very exciting.
Thank
that
you.
That's great. Well, congratulations, YYR. Certainly congratulations on getting the spot back at MAGFest. I hope we get pictures and video and all that good stuff, and I hope it goes so well that you come back in 2021 with your other projects that you're working on.
I'm really hoping to. Yeah, I'm really hoping that, you know, once this is done, I can actually start porting to new platforms and, you know, creating a couple of new IPs that I have already planned out. It's like, there's so much that's just waiting on me finishing up all these existing projects. I've got way too many.
Well,
so
at least
until you see the light,
finished several games, unlike some people I know. So, congratulations.
I haven't forgotten about Vectords.
Appreciate it.
That makes me happy. It warms the cold, dark recesses of my shriveled heart.
All right. YYR, I am going to let you go for now, but thank you so much, and best of luck to you, and I can't wait to hear how MAGFest goes in a couple months for you.
I can't either.
All right. Take care, my friend. Thank you as always for trusting OLR. At least if there's one game maker that'll break the news here on OLR, it's YYR, and we appreciate it.
Hey, you have me as an exclusive. Even if like the major sites are looking to get me on, the biggest podcast in the world, I'll be like, nope, OLR gets me first.
Oh, that warms my cold black heart. Big hug for you, my friend. Big
now
hug.
I have to go get famous.
All right. Take care, my friend. Now get to programming.
All right, see you later.
All right.
I will.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Always good to hear from our pal YYR. I love that he's kind of like reinvigorating, I guess, if you will, super multitasking, because I really do think like it's the type of game that I'm really surprised kind of didn't go viral the first time around. But it's sometimes you just got to catch that spark. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So having the additional visibility at MAGFest and this time around, he's going to be able to say not like it's coming soon or, oh, he's going to be able to say, oh, you can buy it right now, like right here. Mm-hmm. And that I think is really going to help him out. So
for sure.
Yeah, because I was there. I think the year before when he first showed the game, and so he could only say, can you upvote me on Greenlight? Can you upvote me? But now that he actually like has this, you can buy this game you're playing right here, or at least, you know, even if the Versus Ultimate isn't out at that point, at least you can still play the basic
version.
This
game can be yours if the price is
right.
That's
right. Exactly right. Exactly right. So wishing YYR all the success out there. And again, if you want to check out Super Multitasking, if you're newer to OLR, you know, because we were talking the ears off about this game when it first came out, it is available on Steam. The Super Multitasking he's referencing, you can play it on Steam right now, so go check it out in the Steam store. There's no Epic or Origin or any of those GOG wars going on. It is only on Steam, because I know he got there through the green light process. Before they pulled it, they don't have green light anymore, right?
No, they don't.
All right.
Throw your crap up there.
All right. Throw whatever crap you want up there. Okay, let's get back into some news. So we had taken care of the stories DarkSoccer was going to talk about.
Although I do have some kind of unrelated news.
All right, sure. Why not?
Kathy Griffin was sainted by the San Francisco Sisters.
Oh. I didn't know that was a procedure that you could do. Did she have a show there tonight?
I don't know, but she just was very recently sainted. So
she had a show there coming up, and I wanted to go, but I couldn't. I was like, oh, it's same day as something else. But anyway.
So she is now Saint Kathy of the acerbic profundity, herder of hussies, defender of D-listers, and probably not a member of ISIS.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, back to gaming headlines. Loki.
All right. So let's talk a little bit about Smash Brothers. So there's a new version coming out soon, and there's a brand new update on Nintendo Direct that's coming. So we have Ultimate
Version. Which will have happened by the time people hear this.
Yes, it would have happened already. And as you probably have now heard, there's no new announcements. Sorry, it's just talking about Terry.
I was going to say, well, they might be playing Terry Bogard. I mean, yes. Aren't we anticipating that like Terry Bogard will be unlocked after the Direct, probably, most likely?
I don't know, but they're going to at least show what Terry Bogard does. So that's kind of cool. And, of course, along with the Vault, the version 6 updates, they have, of course, there's the Vault Shopper set that's been announced that's going to be made available to Switch Online members. And that includes 5,000 G and 3 classic tickets for no cost if you happen to have Switch Online, which, I mean, if you're playing Smash, you probably do anyways. And then they have fighter adjustments and some other features that'll be detailed, I'm assuming, during the Direct. And then along with Smash, it is now the number one selling fighting game in history.
Oh, wow.
In 1 year. So, yeah, it sold 15.71 million units as of September 30th.
Wow, that's really... Especially when you consider that they had a version that was on Wii and 3DS. But I guess maybe you still count those separately. Or excuse me, Wii U and 3DS. But I guess maybe you still have to count those separately.
I think it just didn't sell as well because there weren't as many systems out there. Maybe.
You're right. That's probably the case.
Yeah. Apparently, though, they're still saying, though, if you counted, if you count the SNES Classic Mini... then Street Fighter 2 would hold the record still with 20 million units.
I was just about to ask, but wasn't Street Fighter 2 everywhere? But we just had the story. And luckily, this time I can remember what we just talked about because it really was just the day before yesterday. But we just had that story that DarkSoccer was talking about in the last show about how the Switch has now outsold the Super Nintendo. So even though it feels like, oh my God, Street Fighter 2 was everywhere on the Super Nintendo when it came out. Well, the reality is there wasn't as many Super Nintendos as there are Switches. So that's how this has now been able to, you know, get out there more. It's pretty cool.
And then in other news, Nintendo is saying that they're open to more remakes on the Switch. So much like we had with Zelda Link's Awakening, they're looking at possibly doing some other games in a similar fashion. And this came out of an investor Q&A. They're saying there's a possibility to bring back titles that have been previously developed for handheld consoles. However, within Nintendo rather than re-releasing past handheld games because of the Nintendo Switch Lite's release. We are discussing more what sorts of new games can we create for an entire Nintendo Switch family. Within that, we also are considering past titles, but regarding what sorts of discussions are being held in detail, there's nothing I can say at the present.
I have a nomination to put forward. If we want to bring back classic handheld franchises, well, we just heard Brain Age. We had that about a month ago. That Brain
That's
Age
kind of the
is
end
coming
of the year.
Back. Yeah. I would put forward Clubhouse Games. Remember that one on 3DS? I thought that game was so cool, and it kind of didn't end up being like a Nintendo thing that really stuck around. But I'm really surprised. I would have thought Clubhouse Games would have been a bigger deal. So
yeah,
it's an old 3DS title. If you got, or maybe it was the regular DS.
It was the regular DS.
Oh God. Okay, so you got to go way back. It was the regular DS. It was like parlor games. Basically, it was a mini collection of parlor games.
Yeah.
It was really well done, and with the DS stylus, and that you could do things that were pretty cool. So.
So we haven't really talked about Minecraft Earth recently, but I think they're just about to release over here at some point. They just, as of October 31st, released in South Korea, Canada, and the Philippines. Just today, the UK. So we're getting bigger territories.
Are these the full releases or just betas?
Full release.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
So they've been releasing in all sorts of territories. Australia's had it for a little bit. So they're getting bigger territories. I mean, the UK is pretty big, so maybe soon.
Yeah,
it's been like, it looks like weekly has been what they've been putting that stuff
again
in.
By the time you guys hear this, it might be a thing.
Yeah, so that'd be pretty cool. And last but not least, there's rumors that Microsoft may be purchasing or set to purchase the developers of Yooka-Laylee.
Oh, that would make sense. Yeah, interesting.
So
like, who's the, like, how on a rumor scale of 1 to 10?
They're
how much
saying
smoke?
That there's, there's the Xbox XO19 celebration that takes place in London on November 14th. That would be a good place to announce something like that.
All right. So keep your eye on that one.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. I have a few headlines for you guys. Actually, a lot of these have to do with like streaming updates and streaming news. YouTube being one of them. Of course, YouTube is a streaming platform as well, if you weren't already aware. YouTube is now rolling out something, because like on Twitch and Mixer, we just talked in the last episode about subscriptions on Mixer. So how is YouTube trying to get a little bit more into the monetization game, allowing creators to make a little more coin? Subscriptions are a thing on YouTube as well. And I guess they have like Super Chat, which means you get a comment that's pinned at the top of a chat, kind of like, I guess it'd be similar to like a highlighted message, which is you probably noticed it's there on Vogue Network. Like when we heard it open, Bobby and I were just kind of like, might as well just open, see what happens. And it's not something you really, it's like the more you watch, the more little virtual coins you get.
I saw that.
It's Mixer's biddies, or no, not biddies. What do they call on Mixer? Sparks. It's the Sparks from Mixer. Twitch kind of has their own system of that now. So we just kind of turned it on, but we haven't really given it thought on how to best use it. But I have noticed people have started highlighting their messages. So this is kind of a similar thing you can do on YouTube. Well, now another thing you're going to be able to do is animated stickers. So it's a little different from emojis because I guess they're big. They're like super stickers, and they've rolled them out to creators in over 60 countries. When you are doing streams or video premieres, you can buy a sticker and drop it in the chat, and a streamer will get a cut of that sticker. A creator can moderate the super stickers. There are 8 sticker packs, 5 of which are animated. And so there'll be different packs in different languages like English, French, Japanese, Korean, Portuguese, and you have to have super chats enabled on your stream to be able to enable super stickers because YouTube has the various criterias that you can monetize and all that stuff, different levels. So kind of interesting, but I got to admit, stickers? I don't know. I mean, if you're trying to get noticed by a big YouTube streamer, maybe. I don't know. But okay. I mean, they got to think of ways to monetize. And, I got to admit, one reason why I think Twitch is a great platform is because it's really easy to monetize on Twitch. It used to be easy to monetize on YouTube, but it no longer is.
Yeah.
So it's pretty easy to monetize on Twitch. And so that's why I think a lot of people kind of go that way. Not that you're going to make a fortune broadcasting on Twitch. I mean, we all still have day jobs. Hello. But, you make a nice amount of money to maybe offset the cost of buying microphones and doing a show and all that stuff. So it's kind of neat. Anyway.
And mic stands.
That's right. Mic stands, which, yes, is in our future, because I was actually listening to a recent episode. And I'm like, oh, my God, every time Dark Soccer, I pick up a mic, you can kind of hear it. So depending on how you guys listen to the show. So
we've been trying not to pick up the mic that much.
I know. We are going to address that issue. It's just one of those, like, you know, one making it better one step at a time. But, yeah, mic stands. Even if they're, like, handheld mic stands, even if we had, like, handheld mic stands, they would it would not make all the rattling that it does now.
I'm doing some investigation.
Okay, please do. All right. Speaking of YouTube and all that stuff, another Twitch streamer has announced that they are leaving, but they're going to YouTube this time. So what, we've had two big streamers leave Twitch for Mixer, and now we have Courage. I don't know. It's Courage, but the R is capitalized. I don't usually get into the celebrity streamer culture a lot, so I don't know who these folks are. Do you?
Nope. Okay. No idea.
Well, he's a big – and I'm not trying to shade him. I just don't know him. I don't know her. But his real name is Jack Dunlop, but he goes by Courage online, and he is going to be going exclusively to YouTube. He has 2.1 million Twitch followers and already 1.9 million subscribers on YouTube. I think there are a lot of Twitch streamers that kind of double dip on YouTube a little bit. By the way, go check out our YouTube channel at VOG Network. But that part's not completely unheard of. But yeah, now he's going to go over there pretty much exclusively. So that's going to be very interesting. So, and it does, folks are saying that like YouTube as opposed to Mixer maybe makes a little more sense for this particular streamer because he said he wants to go beyond gaming. Like he wants to do cooking and ASMR, although this could be like tongue-in-cheek type of announcements, but maybe he's looking to go a little bit beyond just gaming. Interesting. Very interesting because I'm really surprised. I am really surprised at this point that Twitch has not tried to take on YouTube a little more. Like I realize that Twitch has broadened its categories. We have the things like competitive eating and ASMR and all that stuff, but I'm really surprised that they're almost scaling back on some of the video on demand features, right? Like we're losing the live commenting, we're losing the premiere stuff, like that they're almost scaling back on that when I would have thought that Amazon would have really made it because they own Twitch, right? Amazon would have really made a play to take on YouTube, you know, and try to meet YouTube in that space. I'm kind of surprised they haven't done that. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but yeah. Maybe the audience has not shown it's there. Maybe
it would be nice to have an alternative for YouTube.
It would be very nice to have an alternative for YouTube. Maybe Twitch doesn't want to have to, or Amazon in general doesn't want to have to police that. You know, there's a lot of the dark side of YouTube we've heard a lot about, and maybe Amazon's just like, you know what, we'd rather not deal with it. Twitch community's pretty cool.
They're already kind of having difficulties policing Twitch stuff as it is.
I guess that's true. It is getting more and more difficult the bigger and bigger it's getting. And like, you know, I know Dark Soccer brought up that really unfortunate shooting incident, and I don't mean to go to a horrible place, but the reality is, like, I know more recently, it wasn't that one, but there was another one that very recently was streamed on Twitch. And so, you know, and that's not Twitch's fault per se, you know, but certainly they don't want to be involved with that shit. They don't like having their name put out there next to gross content like that. So, you know, well, it's going to be interesting. Anyway, a little tangent, but just something that kind of surprised me. One more article that does not have to do with streaming, but it does have to do with movies. We're going to bring up Hideo Kojima again.
Oh. Hey,
by the time you guys hear this,
you will be sick of
Death Stranding will be out, and I'm so curious to see how the we've seen the reviews, but now I want to see how the general population takes to that game. I'm only about a week away from my live hate playthrough of Death Stranding, and that's going to be the title of the stream. Hate playing Kojima's latest art school project. I'm excited. Anyway, but in being interviewed by the BBC about Death Stranding, because obviously Hideo Kojima's out there doing the circuit and the press and all that, Kojima mentioned that Kojima Productions, the studio he runs, is going to venture into filmmaking, which I don't know if this is a rumor or what, but when you hear that Death Stranding has a 2-hour cutscene at the end of the game, maybe not too surprising to hear that Kojima's interested in getting into filmmaking.
I thought that was the same as like Metal Gear Solid 4 had a really long cutscene at the end of the game too.
He's kind of already making films, but it's interesting. I mean, for all the crap that people are giving Death Stranding for being a walking simulator or whatever, what the game is, maybe this causing people to really think, what would Death Stranding be like as a movie? Who knows? I mean, we won't really know until more of us get our hands on the game. But, you know, what's Kojima going to be capable of in a movie space or a more traditional film space? He certainly has plenty of friends in Hollywood to help him make it happen, right? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens if he were to get into that. So, yeah. Excited to see if they actually really do go that way in the near future. Who knows? So would Kojima announce a film at E3? Or how would that work? He'd probably get his buddy Jeff Keighley to help him out. I imagine that's how that would work.
But yeah, that would be the Game Awards type of thing.
Yeah, right? So anyway, it would depend if his project is based on a game or not. Can you imagine if they made Metal Gear Solid a more traditional movie? You know, if they just took some of the concepts from Metal Gear Solid and made a 90-minute film out of it? Could be interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Wasn't that already Metal Gear Solid 4?
Perhaps.
I think that is on record of having the longest length of cutscenes total.
Well, wait. Death Stranding's almost out. All right.
Well, you know, Kojima wanted to go into filmmaking to begin with anyway. So.
Yeah. So maybe this is one way. Maybe he's going through that midlife crisis right now where he's like, I got to do that thing I always wanted to do when I was younger and never got around to doing. And now I have all these I'm friends with Conan O'Brien. I can do what I want. No, it might sound like I'm shading Hideo Kojima, but I'm really not. I actually think like a movie would be – I'd watch it. Hell yeah, I would. Like, he's a good storyteller, so why not? It's only 90 minutes, maybe 2 hours. Okay, maybe a Kojima movie is going to be like Titanic length, like 3.5 hours, but I'd still watch it, right? All right. Anyway, let's travel around the room. That's all we have for news. Again, these are early headlines. Huge news could have broke Thursday or Friday. Unfortunately, the magic of radio is not that strong for us to have heard it in advance. We'll talk about if there's anything really big that breaks, we will talk about it on our next live episode of OLR, which will be next Sunday when we return, which, by the way, is also starting to shoulder up on the big Bomani holiday of 19 November and 20 November. I believe the show is on the 10th – or no, excuse me, 10th was we're missing. 17th is when the next show will be. So we're starting to saddle up against that Bomani holiday. So anyway – all right, let's travel around and just catch up with our hosts. I know it's only a couple days into the week, but I don't know if you guys have any personal tidbits you want to get out or what kind of video games you have been playing with what little time we've had. Dark Soccer, I know you were mentioning a little bit of The Sims while you've been recovering.
Yeah, I'm still on Sims 4. That's really about it, just because I don't really have much attention span for anything with everything else I've got going on. And honestly, instead of playing Sims 4, I really should be working on that website and getting a email migration finished. But I'm still just sore and itchy from the surgery.
Even when you're working on a big project like that, taking a 30-minute game break can sometimes be...
Sims is not a 30-minute game break.
Fair.
I started playing last night around midnight. And it was 4 in the morning when I quit. And the only reason I quit is because the game crashed. Because
I played a little bit of Sims.
That is a little bit of Sims.
Because basically, I have to gear myself up for it and not make any plans.
Cancel the Friday night plans. Order a pizza. Dim the lights. It's Sims night. That's me in Civilization. So you know what? There's always going to be some game.
Build the pool, remove the stairs.
That doesn't work anymore.
I will find creative ways to make that work, damn it.
I'm actually, though, with the next household that I'm doing, I'm actually building the current version of the full house. Because the floor
like
plans,
the show.
Yeah, but I want to build it with the current design. There's actually pictures of it. It's really, really cute inside.
Like the actual house in San Francisco?
Yeah, the actual house.
So not what you see on – because obviously what you saw on TV is not the actual house. You just saw the outside. Okay, I got you.
Because, I mean, honestly, it's a really gorgeous house. And so – but I'm thinking about doing that, but I'm going to have it lived in – I'm going to have a witch, a vampire, and a ghost live in the house. Because I can't have, you know, a werewolf like in Being Human. So I'm going to try to recreate that thing and see how it lasts if my ghost doesn't want to move off or anything.
Dark Soccer, I hate to break this to you, but Halloween's over.
Halloween is not just a holiday. It's a way of life.
It's a lifestyle.
Listen, this is how you do it, okay? Because I was saying
she is Jack Skellington.
By the way, I know my cheat codes to pick what type of ghost I get and how they died.
Like my kids were talking about the neighbors having their Halloween decorations still up. I'm like, it's fine. All they have to do is put Christmas hats on everything or Santa hats, and then it's Christmas stuff. You can just put hats on everything, and then you can just keep it up all year round.
Do they have one of those witches that looks like it's flown into the door? Those are hilarious. I never see those. Just put a Santa hat on.
No, they have the feet sticking out of the ground.
Oh, yeah, of course, of course.
And then they have this weird skeleton, like, Grim Reaper thing that's always, I tell the kids that it's always staring at them. And then one time, somehow, it triggered from 20 feet away, so that freaked them out. It's good times.
I mean, you could just go eco and just put a real skeleton in your yard.
Right.
The, humans biodegradable.
Oh, yeah. Well, you think your garage haunted house is cool, Karen? Well, at my house, we've got the bodies exhibit. Anyway. All right. Moving on. Loki, what about you? What's going on with you?
I've just been playing more of What the Golf. And I've, like, they have, the way it works is, like, they have different labs. So it's, like, different themed courses or whatever they're in there. But there's, like, a ton of levels. It's ridiculous. And then each level has, like, a par or, like, a slightly more challenging level than another challenging level on top of it. And they have homages to a bunch of stuff. There's homages to, like, Mario Brothers. I'm playing through one right now that's an homage to Portal. That was pretty cool. And then, yeah, so I've been just doing lots of that. I'm probably going to work some more on my game. I'm starting to, like, feel that, like, frustration that I haven't progressed very far recently because I've been trying to get my respawn stuff to work correctly, and it hasn't been because I don't know why. Like, I was trying to focus on doing the most simplest thing possible, but because it's sort of modeled after Smash TV, all the enemies spawn through doors, so they have to walk through a door, and trying to program a door to only work at certain times when, like, say, the player is on the other side of the door and I need it to open, but also not have the player be able to jump back through the door, it's a pain in the ass. So I've been stuck with door logic and stuff, trying to get, like, one-way walls to work and stuff, and in many creative ways to do that, and always finding a way to somehow break it. So, may just say fuck the doors eventually and just spawn into the level. Like, I don't care anymore. Just whatever. I just want this to be done. But
stay tuned for Loki's second game. Fuck the doors. All right. my week, obviously I've been preparing for my trip to New York this weekend, which I'm very excited about, but now I'm like, I'm not going to be able to do everything that we want to do. Like, they're text messaging today about everything they want to do. I'm like, we don't have that kind of time. And it's like trying to fit in seeing people and stuff too. I'm just like, oh my gosh, it's going to be a busy, busy weekend, but I am looking forward to it. Early in the week, I'm still playing Final Fantasy XIV. It's kind of a thing I get on and regularly do with my friends. My machinist is almost 18, so I'll finally have a healer, a tank, and a DPS at 80, since my Gunbreaker and my Astrologian are already 80. My machinist will soon be there too, which has been a lot of fun to play. And I'm still continuing on in Bloodstained. I made quite a bit more progress last night. I got past the second boss, which is funny because for all the difficulty the first boss in that game gave me, I one-shotted the second boss. It is all about that drill weapon, which we talked about last week, Darksakura, that Dan, I guess, used a lot too. Like, that drill made that second boss cake. So, yeah, that's it's a good pro tip. Get that shard from one of those guys that has the drill as soon as you can, because it makes things easier. So, anyway, that's really it for my gaming week so far. So, with that, let's go to Twitter, because we did open up Twitter for your questions, and we want to get to some of those questions that you guys sent us. So let's get to some of these. So we had some tweets, and our first tweet with a question comes from SuperHulk1999, who asked us, will the new consoles come with enough SSD hard drive space, like at least 8 terabytes or more? And that's signed Mike B. So thanks for the question, Mike B. What do you think? It seems like when companies release new consoles, maybe there isn't always enough storage right away, especially for where the generation ends up by the end of its life.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be. Maybe I would see 1 or 2 terabyte hard drives in these consoles. I would like more, especially when you look at, like, say, Red Dead Redemption 2, which just came out on PC. That's a 121 gigabyte download. And because everything works perfectly when you download it, as they're downloading it, or they preloaded it early and they go to decrypt it or whatever, it re-downloaded it.
Oh, shit.
Good job. Good job. So, you know, if game sizes, especially if they're pushing 4K and everything and pushing better graphics, that's higher resolution textures, more uncompressed stuff, that's going to fill up really fast.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think what their solution is going to be is probably allowing external storage again. And so they'll be on you to buy an external 5 terabyte drive or something like that to load your shit on. But that's unfortunate. And in order to keep the cost down, that's what they're going to have to do is cut back on storage. So I would hope that 1 to 2 terabytes would be the kind of norm, but.
Yeah, I would think as game companies are pushing more and more and more to digital, you know, and the digital downloads and so forth, they've got to have more space. But I think, yeah, I think these companies could get away with a 1 or 2 terabyte drive, a solid state drive. Well, but solid state drives don't really go that high. Like, you know, the tweeter says 8 terabytes, but the simple math fatter or
fact of the matter.
Yes. The fact of the matter is the solid state drives are usually much smaller than your, like, you know, I have a 3 terabyte drive in my computer, but it's not solid state because most solid state drives you can buy at Fry's, like, they don't go much past like 500 gigs. Maybe you can get a terabyte.
Yeah,
now.
But maybe they can, like, decide how they want to store that data, yeah, so that they can put the stuff that they need faster on the solid state drive and you know, maybe cache in the other stuff from like your larger drive. I don't know.
I think it would be more important for expansion to be easy. Like, you know, for all the shit that Nintendo gets for not having any room on its console, at least it's very easy to buy a new card and expand it, right? You know, in the PlayStation 4, you can expand, you know, fairly easy and so forth. So I think as long as you can expand on whatever they give you relatively easy, it'll be less of a problem. One other thing to consider, I think, is that gaming is going to go more and more into the cloud, right? Because that's a big thing as we talk about Project X Cloud. We know Sony has been getting some interesting partners when it comes to cloud gaming. So maybe that space won't be as important as we think because there will be stuff in the cloud, which is just on the internet. But, you know, that's the term everybody uses, is in the cloud. So it'll be interesting to see maybe the effects that that has on space. But I will bet the first printing will not be nearly enough. So let's just hope that they allow it to be expandable. So we have a foodie question next. So this is from Redertainment, who tweets, Orange Lounge Foodio, I'm looking for recipe app suggestions. iOS, preferably free, no dietary restrictions. I already have The Joy of Cooking, How to Cook Everything, and Mia Lime. So I haven't a clue.
There was one called Pepper for a while, but I don't know that it was free.
Okay.
He said no website, it's all app, right?
Yeah, he just said app.
Well, I mean, because you can go on websites. Like, I have Epicurious and Bon Appetit and all of that.
Yeah, and technically, right, if I'm not mistaken, in Safari, you just click a couple buttons and you can turn any website into like an app button, basically. So yeah, it runs like it is an app, kind of.
Well, and on top of that, I'm actually in the middle of compiling all of the recipes that I like to use as a PDF to put into Apple Books just for myself. But I just did a quick search on the App Store right now. There's NYT Cooking, which is New York Times recipes. There's Yumly. Tasty, which I actually use Tasty. That's the one done by BuzzFeed.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Redertainment's looking for suggestions. And so, but
all
you've,
recipes,
you've used...
I've used them before.
Okay.
Because
I got to
admit, Epicurious has an app.
I'm terrible with recipes. Like, Alan is truly the one who cooks between the two of us. I know how to do chicken on the Foreman grill, but that's the extent of my knowledge.
I would... So Yummy is good, but their website is pretty terrible. No, their videos, because they've done some very dangerous things on their videos before. But I mean, Epicurious, I've always been really good. I made my first cake with an Epicurious recipe. I did it from their website, but apparently they have an app. And I think I'm going to get the New York Times cooking one myself. So, because that one looks pretty good. All right. I do a lot of baking lately.
All right. Getting into another tweet. This one isn't awkward at all. This comes to us from at Fidelt61. Y'all know who that is, right?
Yes.
That is Grandpa Warcraft, or Captain Matt from the Starboard Power Coupling podcast, who tweeted us this lovely gem of a question. Why did you dump Grandpa Warcraft in 2009? He would have made a good boyfriend. Now, that's a completely awkward thing to tweet me when you know I'm married. And I know he's saying that only tongue in cheek. I wouldn't have given that. I wouldn't have read that on air if I knew. He just wasn't being a sass master, because that's what he does. But
he drinks and he sasses.
He drinks and he sasses. Sometimes you know that this has happened to everybody at some point in their life, right? They go out on a date and they go, this person is going to be a great friend, right? And that's what and we are great friends to this day. We did a podcast together for so many years.
I live in his old
and
house.
So forth. Exactly. And the reality is, if you had been my boyfriend, you'd be dead by now.
All right.
Womp womp.
I had to give him an answer he'd enjoy. All right. And we're going on the Star Trek cruise together very soon. So I hope, you know, I'm going to print out this tweet and frame it and hang it in my cabin, Matt. And, just remember, it's 7 days and nights at sea with me and my husband. All right. Moving on.
Girl. What else do we have?
Look, if he's going to be awkward, I'm going to make it more awkward. All right.
Awkwarder.
More awkwarder. All right, one more question coming from Flocko Jones. We can count on Flocko Jones for
I miss Flocko Jones.
A more serious topic. Yeah, come break our show again, Flocko. We miss you. All right. Flocko Jones asks, not sure if you got into this last week, but I noticed a lot of debate about Death Stranding being good but not fun in some reviewers' opinions. My question is, do games have to be fun? If yes. All games have to be fun, no matter what, doesn't that prove that games can't be art?
There's a difference between fun and enjoyment. You know, like, you can enjoy something, but not exactly have the most amount of fun looking at it, right? Like looking at a painting, like looking at Bosch. All right. You know, one of my favorite ever paintings in the universe is The Garden of Earthly Delights by Hieronymus Bosch. Well, you know, it's the same one that's got like the person with the chicken head and the ass bent over with people coming out of it and the egg and all the weirdness, because Bosch was an interesting fella. But I wouldn't say that's a fun painting. It's not like something that's comfortable to look at, but it's enjoyable. Makes sense?
Yeah, and I would say, too, that, like, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily about fun. I mean, yes, video games should be fun. They should be, you know, something that makes you feel good. But at the same time, I think it's more about emotion, because mm-hmm. art invokes emotion. Art invokes response, right?
The biggest insult an artist can see with their work is for it to evoke nothing.
Yeah, yeah. But I would say, okay, so, like, movies – right, we compare games to movies a lot, right? And going out to the movies is fun, right? But then I think about the time I went and saw the movie Dancer in the Dark starring Bjork. And I cried so hard and so much that I was like scream crying at the end of the movie. And my shirt was like halfway soaked. I don't know if I would have called that experience fun. But does that mean Dancer in the Dark is not art?
Yeah.
So I kind of think there's like a similar sort of thing here. It's not necessarily that I went to the movie, you know, and okay, I realize Dancer in the Dark is a bit of an obscure pick, but pick a sad movie that you've seen.
Or like going to see The Grudge.
Or like
any kind of Japanese horror movie that doesn't necessarily have a happy ending.
Yeah.
Because like American movies are all about happy endings
and
shit.
Well, what about like a serious movie like a Schindler's List, a Saving Private Ryan, a, you know, movies that are kind of about some very serious, heavy topics, but it's kind of like you get a, you know, and I don't think I would call either of those movies fun, but I wouldn't, that doesn't mean I go, they're bad or I had a bad time or I right. regret seeing them.
There's a difference between enjoyment and having
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
I look at fun as a kind of a positive, mirthful sort of thing. But to enjoy just means that you get some sort of satisfaction out of it.
Right. And I think also there's also something to consider is that, like, you know, and maybe this might actually be true of some games. Like, I say that about Dancer in the Dark, right? I don't know if I would watch that movie again. You know, and I think there's other movies out there. Have you – I know. I'm trying to think of something.
I wouldn't say that Everybody's Gone to the Rapture was fun, but it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
And provocative.
Yeah. Like, and there's certain games where I'm like, I'm glad I played that, and I'm really glad I experienced that, but I'm probably never going to play that again.
Yeah, I don't think I can go play it again.
Yeah.
You know, just I was playing it and I played it on stream, and I kind of, part of me wishes I had played it privately, because I did have just a response where I had to, you know, once I was off camera,
yeah,
I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And it's, I had already seen you play it.
It's a heavy game. And again, in, I think so many people slept on this game because it got smacked with a walking simulator type of thing. Well, that, and maybe that is a great, you know, because Death Stranding keeps getting labeled with this walking simulator and all this thing. Like that was a game, right? Everybody's Gone to the Rapture got that whole thing about, where's the game? What are you doing? What's the game?
A game, it's a narrative.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't look at it as a game. I look at it as an interactive narrative.
Yeah.
And honestly, those are the kinds of games I've personally been getting more into lately, are those kinds, well, other than, you know, building houses and watching my Sims die. But I like the ones where you're living the story. You're yeah. seeing it unfolded. Like To the Moon was another good one.
I think the game in Everybody's Gone to the Rapture was the exploration, because you didn't necessarily do things in the same order. You didn't necessarily – I mean, there is a way you can play that game where you can beat it in like 15 minutes if you just skip – everything, basically. But I don't think you'd get the same thing out of that necessarily.
No, it's going and exploring and getting all the little and all the little unlocks, bits of story, and the memories that you yeah. unlock are part of the reward system. It's what you've earned for doing your effort.
An example akin to that is something like Lost Odyssey. You remember that classic Xbox 360 game that really just was Final Fantasy under a different name, pretty much.
Yeah.
But part of Lost Odyssey was that the main character was immortal, right? That's not a spoiler. It's established in the opening, is that the main character is immortal, right? And you get these books throughout the story that, yes, you have to, as you're playing a video game, you sit there and you read a book. To be what Skyrim and Oblivion do this too, right? There's mm-hmm. books in there. And some people go, meh, reading, and just throw away the book, right, Logie?
Yes.
But other people, like, especially, and I think a Lost Odyssey, because if you actually go and you read those books, it's like, holy shit. Like, some of those stories, like, have a almost a stronger emotional impact than the game.
Mm-hmm.
So isn't it weird that it's like we're talking about an art form embedded in another art form? An emotional response embedded within another emotional response?
Or what about lore hunters in series? Like, you know, because when I was playing WoW, I mean, the biggest thing that I got enjoyment out of was lore hunting, was reading the books and seeing the things.
Sure.
And then, of course, breaking the game with my Demon Hunter.
And but there's some people that will play MMOs, and I'm sometimes guilty of this, that will just, oh, quest text, meh. They skip it. It's like, what am I supposed to do in this quest, right? But you're right. There's a whole rich world in that, if you want to experience that. Anyway, I think we might be getting a little bit lost from the original question that was asked, but I think we are kind of giving some examples, is that there's also like different, there's different ways to have fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes that exploration, that sort of is the fun. And I think Death Stranding, if what I'm hearing about it is true, and again, I'm not going to know this till the next episode when I get to play it for myself, there might be a part of Death Stranding that's kind of like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture. Where it's like, you could just focus on the game part, which maybe is not going to be the most. Maybe it is just going to be walking and tricky balancing. But if you allow yourself to get immersed in that story and that universe around it, then potentially there might be more fulfillment out of that. And you might be left with a more rewarding sense out of that.
I'm looking forward to the story aspects of it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why, like, for example, Breath of the Wild. Yeah, very. It can look like a very simple story on the surface, but when you're, but I like seeing the way the societies are built and the language behind it, and seeing how they've built the world that something exists in. To me, is more of the game than the game.
Isn't it interesting, Dark Sakura, how like you and I, especially like in the early reveals of this Death Stranding thing, we're both kind of like, what? Okay, where's the game, right? We're both kind of like sitting here going, come on, get right. But now it's like, now that we know more and more about it, it's kind of like, I have this morbid curiosity. I'm more fascinated with this than ever.
Yeah. And I mean, and you know me, I'm attracted to kind of the offshoot weirdo kind of storylines anyway. But it's like, I'll put it this way. I have learned a whole in-game written language before. I mean, I've forgotten it since then because this was in high school. But I mean, my friends and I used to write each other codes in runes and in other, you know, kind of in-game languages that for in a game that we played before. You know, so having just that richness to it. And I really think this is going to be a very rich universe with the work that's put into it and the people behind it. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see. Great question, Flocko. Made a great conversation out of it. So, and those, love to have those here on the show. So, sadly, that's all the questions we got. But, you know, sometimes, like the last time we got like probably twice as many, but we also had twice as much.
Yeah, what's
notice.
Up with you people?
So that's all right. We're gonna try to really grow the family here at OLR as we move into our 800th episode and so forth. Try to get the word
God,
out.
That
and,
many?
I know. Isn't it crazy?
What are we gonna do when we hit 1,000?
That's still what 1,000 would be a good
like
four years off.
But you
still.
Know, it, I just like I'm saying when.
I don't
because I think it's gonna happen.
There's a, okay, real talk. There's that honest part of me that's like, are we gonna hit 1,000? I'm like, oh my god, four more years of this. But then
did
I'm like,
did we think we were gonna hit 500?
We never thought we'd hit 500, and here we still are. So it's like it's one of those things where it's like and I don't know what I'd do with my.
Maybe I'm not having fun, but I'm enjoying the ride.
So if you're not having fun, is this art?
Is this art?
It certainly is evoking some emotions. But I mean, and not just to go back on the nostalgic, you know, thing before, but look at what all of us have done. Every single one of us in this room have gotten married.
Yeah.
One of us has spawned.
Yes.
One of us has prevented spawning.
Yes.
We have animals.
Mm-hmm.
We have lost people close to us.
Yes.
We have gained people that we don't want to be close to us.
And lost them.
And lost them.
In a different sense.
In a different sense, yes. We have changed jobs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all of us have changed jobs.
All at some point in this room been fun employed. Rob?
No.
No, you have not.
I've not been fun employed.
I was super fun employed, though, and that was great. Except I like money.
Yeah.
You know, we adult harder than we used to, but that's not fun, but it's enjoyable. But I'm just saying, it's like...
No, for sure.
I don't see any point in giving up.
No, and you're right. You're right. You know, we will continue to do this until, like, one of two things. Either we can't. We're not able to get in the same room and do this anymore on
That's
Sunday
when,
nights.
You know, Rob has, you know, a full hip replacement. And
yeah, I mean, well, we physically can't. That might be one reason
Loki
we don't do it anymore.
Gets a motorcycle on a midlife crisis binge and crashes it into a semi.
I don't like motorcycles.
Or we just kind of decide... I think we've said everything we have to say.
No, that'll never happen.
See, that's where I'm kind of at is that, well, we've kind of.
That
kinda,
is never going
to
happen.
We still find new things to say. I don't know. Let me ask this honest question. I'm going to reward those that have stuck around with a bonus episode this deep in with some real deep content here.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think your emotions and your feelings about gaming are as strong as they were when OLR first started?
Probably more so. I mean, I wouldn't say that I am the gamer I was, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, etc. I like to think that I've grown as a gamer and grown into different tastes, you know, but I think that as I've grown and matured through it, I've got different attitudes. And when I see people who are now in the position that I was when we started, I feel like I've got more to contribute. So, I mean, does that make sense?
No, totally, for sure. I don't know. Like, I have to admit there's a part of me that's having a harder and harder time staying on top of everything that's going on in gaming. And I don't know if that's because of my tendency to just kind of use MMOs as my gaming crutch or what have you, where I'm just kind of like, this is my comfort zone, this is my place and the thing that I do. But I feel like it's been harder as the years go on to really stay on top of everything that's going on in gaming. And I don't know if this is also like a sign of getting older, but there's also sometimes where you kind of look at like these things that the big discussions and debate that gamers are having where you kind of go like, I don't know if I get that or I don't know if I understand why people are having that type of reaction or things
no,
like that.
No, I think it's necessarily like before, like I know when we first.
That's where you respond, okay, boomer. Just okay. Kidding, Gen X.
I love that right just now, kidding. By the way.
Gen X. It's Gen X. Thank you.
So I think right now it's just we've kind of grown with, you know, before, like I thought I had to get everything to be able to talk about everything. And then it's just like, that's, it's like, look how much money I've wasted on like all these systems I didn't play. It's like, okay, well, let's just scale back with you get and not necessarily purchase every single game that comes out. I still do catch myself doing that. Like, I have several games that are like big titles that I have not touched at all, like Kingdom Hearts 3. Just the other day, I'm like, oh, yeah, I do have that game, don't I? And so, like, I have this whole library of stuff I haven't touched, but, like, I'll pick stuff up because, like, I feel like I want it. But, like, that's going to be the same thing when the next-gen systems come out. It's just, like, I'm not going to buy both of those systems. I will see what happens. But I don't know. I don't feel the need to do that. Even, like, right now, I haven't played my PlayStation 4 in, like, months. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see. But I haven't... It's time, really. A lot of it is just we don't have as much time as we used to dedicate to stuff like that. It's like you have to balance it between everything else. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Anyway, but I mean, the other thing I'll kind of piggyback on what you were saying, Darsakra, about like, you know, just having this place to do the show and everything that has transformed in our lives as, you know, while the show has gone on. I think there's something to be said as well about the way we've kind of watched our audience kind of grow with us and the things that our audience has done. Like, you know, we have seen folks from our audience go on to do their own shows and to do their own live streaming and broadcasting and getting their voices truly out there. And in many ways, and I really mean this when I say it, there's truly no greater compliment to what we've done here at OLR than the fact that some of you feel empowered to do the same.
Yeah.
And I think that alone has made this adventure worth it. I sound like it's over, but it's not. But, the road thus far,
the
first 800 chapters.
We're entitled to a little rumination.
Sure, of course.
You know.
We're fucking old. What happens when you talk to the old player character in the video games? Well, let me tell you about, let me spin you a tale.
Girl. But, you know, I think that also... I mean, just go back and listen to even 100 episodes back. We're always, you know, I think that in some cases the people who've stayed with us through our own personal struggles that we've had on the show, that I think that maybe even outside of just the realm of gaming, you know, we're people. And if anything that we might have experienced will help other people, then I'm fine sharing those experiences with people.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's why I talk about my health openly. That's why I talk about, you know, just real life stuff openly, because it's not, you know, the games that you're playing can also be a reflection of where you are mentally.
For sure. And you made me think about like the greatest feeling, the greatest reward, the greatest thing I've like probably ever felt from doing this show. When you talk about being open with your life and being, you know, your authentic self here on air, the emails I've gotten where they were like, I think it's a little different now in the year 2019, but this show's been around for 17 years. In the earlier years of the show, especially when we were first a podcast, 2006, 2007, right? When I got that email that said, Rob, you being your authentic self and being a quote unquote normal gay guy. And when people are in their feelings, I totally get why somebody phrases it that way. You being a normal gay guy out and open and a gaming fan like me and stuff, it helped me to accept that this is a part of myself. Like, I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. Like, that is, there is no greater reward, period.
And I think that, I mean, just with our dynamic on here, the three of us, we actually kind of represent a different demographic, each of us that can interact together.
I think that's what's kept this show going as long as it has.
We got flavor.
And there's been nights we can get into it. We have very passionate opinions. And I'm sure we've said things that maybe even piss some of our listeners off. But, you know, at the end of the day, they might – you know, they kind of come back because it's that bar. It's where you go, where everybody knows your name, that whole thing. Right. And it's like this, you know, we have a strong friendship here where it's like, we're going to have passion. We're going to have opinions. We're going to, you know, have those things. But at the end of the day,
yeah,
we're all the same. We're all cut from the same nerd cloth, I guess. So,
yeah.
Deep thoughts.
I'm just the poorly sewn one. I'm the amateur cosplayer of the group now.
Fuzzy wuzzy feelings. Well, thank you.
That was deep.
It was a
little
deep.
Someone fart before I get, you know.
Well, I will say, you know, that Loki followed up the tweet that Flacco wrote, putting fun plus art equals fart.
I approve.
So there you go. We hope you found this episode, this bonus episode of Orange Lounge Radio, to be a nice, great, big, gigantic fart. That's fun plus art. Thank you for sticking with us through this bonus episode, through however many episodes you've listened to Orange Lounge Radio. One other thing I wanted to say real quick, sorry not to go back to the deep stuff, but you know, I think we've been talking behind the scenes about trying to do some creative kicks in the butt for episode 800. Like we kind of always ask ourselves, how do we celebrate 17 years? How do we celebrate another year? How do we celebrate another 100 episodes when you've been doing it like this long, right? And I think like a creative kick in the butt, and I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, so that's why I'm trying to like really bite my tongue on like what we want to do. But
and
I
trash
think,
a hotel room and hire hookers.
No, but I think when we like creatively kind of go back to the show and go, what can we like tune up behind the scenes? What do we want to do different? What do we want to do better? What makeover do we want to give ourselves? I think it's a nice little like invigoration, because I know like the last time we did, or well, the move to Twitch would be the last one, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we took the show and moved it to Twitch, it was a big like creative kick in the ass, you know, and it kind of keeps you going just that much longer. So I think I look forward to 800 episodes for that reason, because like, how are we going to kick ourselves in the butt now to keep moving so our show is old enough to vote next year, just in time for the next election?
Fuck, don't get me started on that.
All right. Then with that, I will shut it down tonight. We've been going for quite a bit for a pre-recorded show, so it's almost 9 o'clock here, and I know everybody has their lives to get back to. But it would not be an episode of Orange Lounge. Now, keep in mind, this was a bonus episode, technically. We're not going to number this one, so there was no Classic Game of the Week. We didn't do some of our regular segments. All of that stuff will come back next week in a normal episode of Orange Lounge Radio. But we will go around and get everybody's final thoughts still. So, Dark Sakura, your final thought for us.
I'm kind of hungry.
Okay. It is. We've kind of gone during the dinner time hours doing this show, so I don't blame you for that feeling.
Yeah.
Loki, your final thought.
So I'm following Salt and Straw, which is an ice cream place that they have by Disneyland. That's where I first went. And they have monthly flavors that they put out. And they have five different flavors that are based on Thanksgiving. One of them is salted caramel Thanksgiving turkey. It's salted caramel with crispy turkey skin.
You lost me at caramel.
Okay. My final thought is, you inspired me to do one last thing here, because I have something you have to try.
Rob just got giggly and went and grabbed something. Oh, fuck. Are these Lay's?
No, worse. Okay, so these are from Trader Joe's. They're kettle chips, turkey and stuffing.
I need to try this.
Kettle chips.
That
Loki,
sounds freaking
if you will.
Good.
I ate one. I thought it was fucking nasty, but I'm not huge on Thanksgiving food. Here you go, Dark Sakura.
It definitely smells like stuffing.
You can thank Alan for bringing these. There you go, Pikachu. What do you think?
That's fucking delicious.
It tastes like gravy a little bit.
I didn't like them.
This is fucking yummy.
Enjoy. If Alan doesn't like them, I'm giving you the bag. He might like them. I don't know. So, all right.
It's all right. It's not.
I don't like them.
It's got a weird, like, aftertaste or
but
something.
You know what? When Lay's had that biscuit and gravy flavor, the first time I had that,
like pepper.
I was like, this is fucking gross. But then, like, it was like one of those, I'm hungry and it's the only option. I ate it again. I'm like, oh, these aren't that bad. I like chowed down a whole little bit.
That's not bad.
These remind me, though, kind of, because I mean, I definitely get that turkey and the stuffing over. I mean, I really like it.
Just make stuffing out of that.
But
that's redundant.
But, you know, I also those soy and butter chips.
Oh, yeah.
Those are really good.
All right. Well, it started and it ended with food. Have a great night, everybody. We'll be back live with our next episode next Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at twitch.tv/VogNetwork right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Thank you, as always, for your support. Have a wonderful week gaming, and we'll see you next time. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.